You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Thursday, December 22nd, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the King, Scott Angle, the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Tony Zincana as well. I am Greg Sussman, hanging out for the next 3 hours with you. It's the fantasy best friends forever. On the program today, the Dillons will join us. Austin and Ty will go head-to-head in a fantasy championship. They will join the program 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. Not to talk about. We got Giants and Eagles tonight. We got You're Trying to Survive. Scott Angle gave his power rankings for that as well. We'll talk about some other things, including a little college basketball, because I am very, very angry about something that happened last night. So we'll break that down for you sometime within the next 3 hours. But first, we must say good morning. What's going on, Scotty?
How you doing this morning, fellas? Caught a little bit more NBA hoops last night. And I ran something by you, but you know, before the show started, and I wanted to get Tony's opinion on it. Last night, I'm catching some of Cavs, Bucks last night, and you know, you tell me, and I've heard this from other people, and you just confirmed it, that you know Kyrie Irving is this selfish guy, right? And I'm watching him last night, and like he's drawing all these defenders to the hoop, and he's dishing off in rhythm, and he's hitting everybody, including LeBron, you know, right at their key spots. And like it was career-high 13 assists last night. He had 12 last Saturday. You know, after coming off of that week-long rest, which I'm sure pissed seasonal fantasy owners off, I specifically wanted to know from Tony, you know, is this a new trend? Because, you know, like, I'm not sure because, you know, they're depleted. You know, they're missing Kevin Love, who's wearing a shirt of himself on the sidelines, like a ugly sweater of himself on the sidelines. They just lost J.R. Smith to the thumb. Is this some sort of new trend? I mean, we've seen him hit his career high in assists twice in the last week.
No. This is a guy that is a shoot point guard. We have plenty of those right now in the NBA, and he's one of them. I just think it's two games, and then he's going to go back to being the same Kyrie Irving and looking to create shots for himself.
Yeah, it was interesting, though, because I've heard that narrative about Irving so much, Tony, and I'm watching last night. I'm like, you know, this guy looks so damn unselfish. Like, he's drawing 3-4 defenders to the hoop and then dish it off. Is this the guy I've always heard about?
No, unless all of a sudden things change overnight, two games to me is not enough to see this guy here.
Yeah.
And you look at it, he still shot up 17 shots for a point guard.
Right. So it's not of a thing where he feels he's got to take a more of a distribution role because, you know, of the injuries that they have.
No, actually, James Harden, who was probably similar that people thought he was a me-first guy, has done a better job as far as getting the ball out to people. And what an amazing effort for the Houston Rockets last night. Patrick Beverley came up one assist and one rebound short of a triple-double.
Yeah, I caught some of that game, and I actually thought the same thing, but I wanted to check with you to see if I was sure on that. Like, I'm looking at Harden, and I'm like, you know, and I think I saw him, like, they went away on a fast break, him and Beverly, and, like, he threw this pass behind the back to Beverly.
Yeah, Harden's done a great job this year at Mike D'Antoni's office at distributing the ball.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good now.
All right.
Yeah, I wanted to get, I got some other NBA things that I saw last night, but I'm sure we could talk about them later. I had some DeMarcus Cousins issues I wanted to run by you.
No, feel free. You're on a roll now.
No, it's just
he's
like...
He's got several issues, by the way.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, the first is working with you, but you know we'll deal with
that. How is
that
a DeMarcus Cousins issue?
What?
How is that a DeMarcus Cousins issue?
I thought you were saying Scott's got several issues.
No, DeMarcus Cousins has several issues.
See, you're very sensitive this morning.
I am, right?
Early.
I woke up early. 6 minutes into the show, but I'll have the last word. You know how it goes. But here's the thing with Cousins. I'm watching him last night, too, and of course, Tony, you know, I didn't catch your daily analysis on this. I'm him going on a back-to-back. I mean, coming off 55 the previous night, you know, after going off on a reporter and, you know, getting the whole mouthpiece incident that you talked about yesterday. And, you know, watching him, and like, there's so few guys, if any, in the league that can do what they do at his size, you know, that, you know, the way he drives to the basket. And, you know, they were interviewing Cuz after the game, and he's talking about, you know, what a big deal it is to be in the eighth seed. You know, about how we got to keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. And I'm hearing all these trade rumors about Cousins. It's like, you know, because not only does he, you know, he's a league leader in certain statistical categories, but he's also up there in technicals and ejections. Do you think Cousins is going to get moved? They're saying, like, it's real hard for the team to maybe pull the trigger on
that. Because they can't get the proper return, because none of the organizations are going to say, okay, listen, we understand the talent, but you're sending us a nut job.
Right. Can another team win with a guy like that? Do they feel like he's too much of a nut job that they won't give up enough to get him? Because, like, the numbers and the talent are there, but like you say, he's a head case.
Yeah, but the talent always wins out, though.
Yeah, talent-wise, he's a top five or six player. So he is definitely a guy that will get traded, and teams will absolutely give up for him. The Boston Celtics have been working on a trade for 2 years with the Sacramento Kings, trying to pull it off with this guy. But I guess when he gets down to actually pulling the trigger, DeMarcus Cousins and the off-the-court situations probably are there at the end where you're trying to get a guy for 80 cents on the dollar.
Well, here's the thing. Does he have an off-the-court thing, or is his thing more on the court? Because I'm trying to think of off-the-court stuff, and I don't think it's been – he had an incident in the nightclub with him and Matt Barnes, right?
Yes. Yeah, he was with Matt Barnes.
Matt Barnes is another goon. But I can't really remember anything else, like, off the court. So, I don't – maybe his actions on the court, I don't know. And then when me and my brother-in-law were talking about Big Cuz last night, and we were thinking about, like, NBA goons. You know who was a big-time goon? Steven Jackson was a goon, too.
Well, yeah.
Big-time goon. Yeah, he didn't care. He had no cut. He was like a DeMarcus Cousins type player also, you know what I'm saying? Not the talent that Cousins brought to the table. I always think you need a tough guy, you know what I'm saying, on your team, especially in the NBA, a guy that can...
An enforcer. Richard Jefferson got ejected last night. He's like 35 years old.
Yeah, he's not an enforcer.
But he's saying that, you know, this is what I do for guys like Kyrie. You know, I bully other people for guys like him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you got guys like Zach
Randolph.
It's
like the hockey mentality.
Yeah, the enforcer.
Yeah, like a guy like a Zach Randolph or Matt Barnes.
He's like a Ty Domi, right?
Yeah, Bill Laimbeer, you know, guys like that.
Remember the ultimate NBA enforcer, like Maurice Lucas of the Champion Trailblazers years ago?
Oh, I met Maurice Lucas actually in New Jersey at the Brendan Byrne Arena back in the day.
The Brendan Byrne Arena. That away to Piscataway.
Yeah, he was the most pleasant guy in the world off the court. There's no way in my I would think that DeMarcus Cousins isn't a handful off the court as well. Because you can't just turn off that and turn it on. Some people do. I just can't imagine that with DeMarcus Cousins.
I mentioned Rick Mahorn.
Rick Mahorn.
I was standing under the basket when he was shooting around during one of Ewing's first games, and I said, Patrick's going to get you tonight. You know what he said?
What?
F Patrick.
And there you go, right there. And Greg, I tell you what. As far as what you talked about and to lead, what you teased in the open, I'm talking about, you know, J.J. Redick. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Christian Laettner.
Uh-huh.
He is definitely
worse.
He's this guy right
here. This guy's the
worst.
So, let's get into it now.
Let's get into it now.
I'm enraged about this.
Go ahead.
That's fine.
Just one question before you start, though. If I don't think so, but I just want to make sure. If he gets traded to Boston, does it affect his fantasy value at all?
It's DeMarcus Cousins?
It's seasonal.
Yeah, big cuz.
Yeah.
No, he's still
I didn't think so, but I just wanted to check.
Yeah. All right. So.
A long line.
So you have.
There's
been a lot of people at Duke that have just been hated.
Yeah, I saw this last night.
J.J. Redick, as Corey mentioned, Christian Laettner, John Shire, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
All these guys.
Wojo was not the nicest guy either.
Right. Uh-huh. All of these guys are there. And they're just hated, right?
Yeah.
And they're hated and hated because they're at Duke. They have a reputation, and that's fine. But some of them were amazing, right? Like, Christian Laettner was amazing, and J.J. Redick's the best 3-point shooter I've ever seen in my life, and John Shire was a little prick, but that's fine. Grayson Allen was like unlike anything I've ever seen.
Wojo was
before my time.
Was dirty on the court, too.
Wojo was before my time.
What about Bobby Hurley?
Bobby Hurley is likable.
My time, too. You said he was likable.
Bobby Hurley was likable.
Danny Ainge.
But yes, Bobby Hurley also would fit that category, Tony. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So Grayson Allen last night, and he came back, and I don't like this guy last year. This guy just had a, like, punk kid written all over him every time every time you saw him. But it was fine. Give him the benefit of the doubt. He's a good player. And all these analysts, like, we're so happy when he decided to come back last year, right? Yeah. I don't know where he was going in the NBA draft, but that's fine. They were so thrilled he was coming back this year. I'm like, all right. And this guy, everyone talks about, we've talked about on this show, we've talked about other shows on this network, the Golden State Warriors, the Steph Currying of the NBA, right, where everyone likes to take a shot from 50 feet out. Maybe we should be talking about the Draymond Greening of basketball. Because everyone now is playing a little extra physical. Yeah. And in particular, Grayson Allen. Because twice last year, much like Draymond Green did last year, he wound up tripping players. And just like Draymond Green did first two times last year. Oh, you know what? Maybe he just kicks
it
his leg.
It was an accident.
Maybe it was an accident. Same exact thing with Draymond the first two times he did it. You know what? He kind of just does that. He sticks his leg out. No big deal.
Yep.
Now, the third time Draymond did it, he got suspended and there's a lot of backlash. But last night, with Grayson Allen against Elon University.
Against
this isn't UNC.
I'm like, who?
This isn't Louisville. This isn't Kentucky. This is Elon. Against Elon University in Greensboro, of course.
Yeah.
Grayson Allen playing a little defense against Elon. Guy drives. I don't know. He's playing fine defense. Yeah. No big deal. Gets beat. He gets beat as the guy goes to the basket. And this dude literally just picks his leg up.
Yep.
Literally just, he is on the ground. He's not jumping. He is on the ground. Puts his leg up. Dude trips all over him. Falls to the ground. Refs immediately call a foul. They go to the review to see if he trips him intentionally.
Right.
And meanwhile, Grayson, so the guy obviously gets up, gets in Grayson Allen's face, like, what'd you do that for, dude?
Yeah.
And he's screaming back at him. Well, what is he screaming about? I have no idea, right? Guy strips. They call a technical foul on Grayson Allen, as they should have. Grayson Allen goes to the bench, takes a breather. And instead of a breather, he throws a temper tantrum like DeMarcus Cousins.
Cousins.
He's sitting there. You go to Duke, man. You are a junior. You are the quote-unquote leader of this team, along with Emile Jefferson, right? Like, these two guys, junior and senior, have been there. They're supposed to lead Jason Tatum and Harry Giles and all these great freshmen that are there at Duke that have a legitimate eyes set on a national championship, as they do every year at Duke. And you have Grayson Allen sitting there like, as Jay Williams, a Duke alum and Coach K alum, said, quote, a perpetulant toddler.
Yeah.
That is what Jay Williams said, not me. That is what Grayson Allen looked like last night. A perpetulant toddler.
He was having a fit on the bench.
About what?
Like somebody did him wrong.
Right. And he tripped the guy.
Yeah. I saw that, yeah. I hear all these things that, like, he's a nice kid, blah, blah, blah.
I almost cussed just now.
It's
stopping yourself.
It's all lip service. You know, the kid's got to be disciplined.
And I agree. And Coach K is more or less saying, well, I discipline my players the way I want to discipline my players. I do it my way. Nobody's going to tell me how to discipline the player.
Somebody's got
to
know.
Well, you know what? If that's the case, maybe he needs to be disciplined on the court. Because I guarantee you he wouldn't stick his leg out at Rucker Park. You know what I'm saying?
You're absolutely right.
I guarantee you he wouldn't stick...
Fort Street. Yeah,
I guarantee
right?
you he wouldn't Let stick his leg out if that was DeMarcus Cousins going by him.
100%.
He needs to get his ass kicked on the court.
Yeah.
Because what he is doing is very dangerous.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I saw what Jay Williams said. Seth Greenberg, also an analyst for ESPN. I don't really like Seth Greenberg personally. Just whatever. But Seth Greenberg says, Coach K is Hall of Fame coach, considered perhaps the greatest coach of all time by some, certainly one of the best, if not the best coaches currently in basketball. He is the coach of Team USA. He's the coach of America, essentially. Yeah.
Basically, I didn't think about that.
And he probably needs to send a message to his own player and say, this is unacceptable. This is not how you reach the Olympics. You need to do something, suspend the guy, not come out with BS statements. I handle it my way. I do what's sufficient. Look at the game team and see what kind of punk you have. You know what? J.J. Redick, you say what you want about him, and you do that. He had a lot of threes. He was kind of a dick. He didn't trip players. Yeah. He would have gotten his ass kicked.
Yeah, you're out there, like, intentionally hurting people.
He can't take losing on defensive end.
Yeah,
he can't take it.
It's immaturity.
And his emotion immediately causes him
to
stick his leg out to try to hurt somebody.
It puts his teammates at a disadvantage because they're going to go after his teammates now.
Yeah, they're going to go after his teammates. They're going to look for revenge. I'm just like, wow, this is baffling to me how this kid is doing this and nobody has really got after this punk yet. You know what I'm saying?
They will now.
What do you think, Tony?
I look at that, and Mike Krzyzewski's in a bad situation. Like, he should not have commented after the game.
Agreed.
That was too close, and his comments were totally ludicrous for the Axes. I think when he has something to think about it, something will be done in this situation. He seems to me like a guy that will handle this, and I thought his comments last night, he should have just took 24 hours to look this over and think about it and what to do about this. I expect him to do something.
You're 100% right, because there's very little chance, I'm thinking, right after the game, he saw all the angles that we saw, right? Like, there's no way that he saw it slowed down over and over and over again. He probably just saw what he saw on the court. He's like, listen, don't talk to me about my players. I'll do my thing my way, which is fine, but you're totally right, Tony. He should have said, listen, I got to review everything. But his first act was to defend his players. I get that. He shouldn't have commented. You're 100% right.
No, sometimes better to say nothing. And this is going to be interesting because everybody can't stand Duke. And a lot of times when you look at that, a lot of times it's a lot of talk about nothing. But this kid is crazy, right? It's a bad situation. Yeah. You don't see that too often at Duke because all those other guys were hard-nosed players. They won games. And this kid just looks like a punk.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and like I said, there's plenty of reasons to hate. And we've seen people go overboard with the hatred of Duke. And you know what I'm saying? And obviously, the time they blame those kids that were innocent and stuff like that. So, like, that perception of Duke basketball and that elite society is out there. And people want to root against that. But, you know, with Christian Laettner and J.J. Redick and these guys, it was kind of like, okay, that was the perception. This kid right here is really an asshole.
He's dirty.
He's really an asshole.
You're a North Carolina fan, right?
Yeah, I root for the Tar Heels.
Yeah.
I think if I didn't root for the Tar Heels,
I heard people saying last night.
You're a terp, which is worse, probably.
There's a perception out there that people just don't like these players because they come from Duke.
Which is
but
true.
I don't care who these kids play for. You know,
has nothing to do with who they play. Has nothing to do with who they play for. Like, I got to like Tyler Hansborough either. But that's a Maryland thing, right? Tyler Hansborough never did anything wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
He was just a hard nosed dude.
I mean, and then it's so much that goes into Duke basketball, like. I developed a hatred for Duke basketball when they beat UNLV, and that was kind of like, I was like, oh my God, you know what I'm saying? Like, how could they do that? You know, I took that loss personally and began to hate Duke after that. You know what I'm saying?
Why?
Because that UNLV team was like the first team that was like, you know, that was the first team that kind of was, what's the word I'm looking for? They brought a certain culture. To mainstream, they exposed mainstream basketball to a certain kind of street culture of ball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they were
trendsetters. You know what I'm saying? Much like Michigan and the Fab Five that came after them and stuff like that. So and then they lose
to
Duke.
They
lose to Duke like the good guys. You know what I'm saying? So it was like that's where my hatred for Duke started. You know what I'm saying? So but you know those things are questionable and trivial, but this right here. You have a reason to hate these guys now.
Looking at their schedule about when he's going to get his, they open up the ACC play on New Year's Eve against Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
In Virginia Tech. I mean, Buzz Williams, you know, Buzz Williams.
Yeah.
He's not going to back down. That's fine. Then home for Georgia Tech, BC. Meh. In Florida State in Tallahassee.
Listen, it'll go down in Tallahassee. Okay.
I'll tell you where it'll go down. The next game, Saturday, January 14th. In Louisville, Kentucky against Louisville
Louisville's not going to play that with them.
You don't think so?
Huh?
What do you mean not play that with them?
No. Louisville will go at them.
Correct. Yeah. You saw it last night in Kentucky. It was a great game last night with Louisville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
I seen a little of that game last night. That was some good basketball. But I'm a John Calipari guy. Okay. I grew up a Rick Pitino guy.
Yeah. Right.
But I've switched Italians.
Yeah, it was a good game last night between those two teams. I watched that entire game. It was fun. It was fun. I'm excited for college basketball, and you got conference play starting next week finally. So all this stuff beforehand, that's all done. Conference play is here, so that will be fun.
But you know, there's other things you got to have on your priority list right now, like the Dollar General Bowl, you know, stuff like that.
No.
Is that really a bowl?
Yeah, I that's what I'm saying. I saw it this morning. The Dollar General Bowl.
That is definitely not my priority.
Yeah.
My priority.
Ohio versus Troy.
How does Dollar General get enough money to sponsor a bowl?
Right?
Dollar General is a NASCAR sponsor, too.
Really?
Yeah. You're down south there. They're a big chain down there, Tony.
Oh, they're big, but I don't ever see anyone in the stores.
I used to go to Dollar General. It was pretty crowded.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you buy in there?
It's like you get everything cheaper there. To like, you know, you get all kinds of food there and housewares and stuff like
so
that.
So everything's not a dollar then.
Dollar General?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's like Family Dollar's like another big dollar chain.
So none of the stuff costs a dollar then.
It's usually like around a dollar. A lot of the stuff is like around a dollar from what I call.
$1.99, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we went from the five and dime to the dollar store.
Yeah, we did.
Capitalism.
Like I live right near Dollar Tree.
Really?
Yeah.
Dollar Tree.
Yeah, they should have DFS, like, you know, they should have DFS kiosks in like these dollar stores and you play a DraftKings game for a dollar in there, right? Makes sense.
There you
right?
go.
There you go. Let's get it done, Lou.
Nando plays quarter games.
There you go.
There you go. There you go.
My priorities are set. I got the Giants tonight. Maryland
yeah,
basketball
Giants.
Tuesday, baby.
You know, I got picture in picture now on my television. I think I'm right. at the Giants.
Well, welcome to the century.
No, I'm saying, you
it's
know, it's
90s.
Like, you know, I'm not upscale as you. I'm finally getting
there. We're going to get into the DVR. You got picture in picture.
I'm not getting there yet.
I was born picture.
I'm going to have the Giants and I'm going to have the Knicks on PIP.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Really?
PIP.
Oh, God. What do you mean, oh, God?
They're
Knicks
playing
fan.
Well.
They're playing well. What, you don't back your team when they lose?
No, I do, but they've been losing for years, and but they are playing well.
So far this year. What, you only root for your teams when they win?
No, that's not what I'm saying, Scott.
I'm impressed. Picture of the Knicks tonight. I can't say I'm going to do that.
I think so. I'm going to do it, especially after watching the game against Indiana the other night.
You're not
Real
Giants
quick
fan,
before we
so.
Go, well, I'll ask this when we come back to break. I got another question for you guys.
All right, ask the question. When we return, Giants Eagles tonight. More football to talk about, and a lot more coming your way here on the Road to Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back here on the Roto Experts. Scotty, you opened up with a question. You had another question.
Yeah, you know, checking out some Oklahoma City last night, Tony. And, you know, obviously Russell Westbrook does what Westbrook does. But he's dishing off constantly to this kid from Spain, Alex Abrines. And the kid scored 16 points in 12 minutes. And they had Oladipo last night out with the wrist injury. And Morrow wasn't playing well either. Do you consider this guy on your radar at all in seasonal leagues? You know, or is it just something to monitor?
No, he's a guy that's mostly a defensive player, and when he gets points, that's a positive. But he's never going to be a fantasy player this season as well.
Yeah. So this kid, yeah. Alex Abrines, I had never heard of him about till 4 seconds ago when you mentioned him.
Five three-pointers last night.
So that's a career high 30 points. His previous career high was 10.
Yep.
And the minutes are never consistently there. I realize that Oladipo being hurt, he saw an uptick in value.
Yeah.
There's nothing here at this moment with this guy.
Yeah, I figured like Tony talks about sample sizes. If he does it like two more times, though, you got to take notice, right?
Two more times.
Yeah. Two more times, three more times, you know.
Like this week?
Like you know, if this guy pulls off a string of double-figure games. But I guess you don't think that's happening.
No, there's games where he actually plays like 17 minutes, 16 minutes, and then he'll get hot and they'll leave him out there for 25 minutes. So he's all over the place. There'll just be no consistency.
Two more things I saw last night, Tony. It's like, did you catch any of the Hawks game last night?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see that move that Paul Millsap pulled on Karl Anthony Towns last night? Like he went street ball on him. He like showed him the ball and then like embarrassed him.
No, I didn't see
that. Yeah, you might want to look that up. And the other thing I wanted to ask you too is like, how often are you targeting like the Trailblazers? Like when you play in DFS, they're so bad defensively.
Oh, they're the worst team defensively, and you try to take advantage of the two guards, CJ McCollum and Damon Lillard, who a lot of people put in their fantasy lineups. You try to go the other way in those contests with good guards there. Last night, of course, the Dallas Mavericks go on the road and crush them. This team was very good last year, the Portland Trailblazers. They have gone the other direction to start the season.
I wonder
Didn't
why.
Didn't Dallas snap like a 10-game road losing streak last night?
Oh, yeah. They're terrible. They're absolutely terrible. And yet, they dominated that whole game last night.
Yeah, Atlanta's not good at home either. You know, I understand.
They played without Dwight Howard last night. It's a big difference, too.
Yeah, did Millsap play center again last night?
Well, he plays center. Mike Muscala, of course, for fantasy owners, the DFS owners especially, they were on the fence because Muscala in his last game and filling in for Dwight Howard did nothing. I took a shot on him last night. He did pretty good. He had 20-plus fantasy points there. But he's a jump shooter. He's like a 7-foot jump shooter that doesn't get underneath.
There you go. Any more?
No, that's it for now, though. When you guys talk a little bit NBA later, though, I might have some other things that I saw.
Little cough drops. You like cough drops?
I like the Ludens. I think they're the best tasting ones. The Halls have too much like a medicine-y like taste to them.
Yeah.
There you go.
I agree with you.
There you go.
never get the cough drops at Dollar General, though.
No. Greg, do you ever need a cough drop?
Yeah, I have good cough drops at home. I actually forget the name now of it, but I really like them. Actually,
they're not Ludens.
No, Ludens.
You like the black cherry ones are really good.
They're red.
Yeah. What
they're
made
red.
You think of cough drops?
My throat was a little sore.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I have some really good cough drops at home, Tony. I can get you the brand if you're interested.
I'd like to know.
All right.
Yeah.
We want to go to Greg's house. After,
you guys want to come out after the show?
Have a cough drop party.
Have a cough drop party?
You had Friendsgiving. We should have a cough drop party, right?
Yeah. We all bring our own cough drops.
There we go.
Corey, would you like to come to our cough drop party?
Why not? Let's get it done.
Tony, look, you spawned an idea here.
Yeah,
next time you're in town, we should have a cough drop party.
Yeah, next week it'll be NyQuil parties, and it just all goes down.
NyQuil parties are dangerous.
Then we're going to start getting into the drug
ring. You can't have those. They're dangerous, Tony.
Yeah. I agree.
NyQuil party.
Bad thing can happen from those, Scott. I'm not kidding.
David Koresh tried that.
I'm not kidding.
That didn't work out.
Lil Wayne also has a NyQuil's in that purple drink, isn't it?
No, Nike. You can buy NyQuil over the counter.
No, I know, but I thought that's like part of the ingredient that's in there goes in that purple drink.
Nah, lean is it's they use a different
codeine, codeine, right?
Well, yeah, but they use it. It's the medicine that they use is called Activist.
Okay,
is the real popular one. It's Activist, and it's something else. It's another one that they use too. That's even more. I think a bottle of Activist is about $750.
Really?
Yeah. And then the other one, High Tech, is the other one. High Tech is about $1,100.
Why is it so expensive? You can't get a cheaper purple drink?
Because it has codeine in it.
I can find my own codeine, no?
Well, that's why it's so expensive, because it has the codeine in it. And then you have, you know, the other ingredients that you put in it. But that is, not to get off on this.
No, I'm wondering about
big
it.
Big business. Yeah. And when you start drinking that, you have to have it. It's almost like...
You get addicted.
It's almost like heroin. It's liquid heroin. When you start drinking you can't stop. And you're paying $750 a bottle for that?
Right.
That's crazy.
This hot-looking chick had a online profile today that she wanted people to bring some lean over to her. And she was like dressed like... scantily, and she looked really good, and I didn't know what the hell she was talking about. Now I know what lean is.
Yeah, that's,
what is it?
That's lean.
Purple drink.
Lean is the drink.
Yeah,
lean is that,
really?
Lean
is purple drink.
Lean is purple drink. It's Activist,
now,
Sprite.
If you don't...
And then there's different forms of candy you could put in there, get the ice in there, double up the cups, and go for it. It's a liquid high.
Corey, if you don't mind
what's
me asking,
the drug
have you had...
The Activist, the codeine and the Activist.
Have you had purple drink before?
No. I'm very specific with stuff. It's like that
dangerous.
Yeah, you drink that. What am I going to buy $750
and then
get addicted to it?
No. I really thought you could put like you don't need like the Activist. You can just find a different sort of codeine, put it in there with the Sprite and the candy, mix it up, and boom.
Mm-mm.
I didn't realize you need just that high quality.
That's the quality of it. That's the one.
Because
the
people
use.
Like, I know Lil Wayne's like the famous one, but like there's a lot of people that are very much addicted to this. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a humongous problem.
Still to this day, like, does Lil Wayne still drink that?
Yeah, that's why he keep having those seizures and stuff like that.
So, what did you do about this, Tony, when you saw this girl in the ad?
He's
I was confused.
He swiped the other way.
I was confused by what
he was about to swipe right though.
I was like, what the hell is going on here?
You know what I foresee is my issue when I'm going to start to play more fantasy basketball here, just to go back for a second, is when
you drink too much purple drink?
Yeah, I might. Like, some of these guys are going to be like purple drink to me.
I think drink. There you go.
Okay. Purple drink.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Drink, you know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Because when I watch the NBA, I tend to like a player from a real basketball perspective, but then he won't help my team enough, especially in daily. Like, when I watch the Knicks, I really enjoy Kylo Quinn. You know, like
you watch the Knicks for Kyle O'Quinn.
No, what I'm saying, I don't watch it obviously for Kyle O'Quinn. I obviously didn't say that. You know, I watch the Knicks for Carmelo Anthony and Porzingis and Rose. You know, but what I'm saying is sometimes I watch a team, you know, and I say, wow, you know, this guy's like, you know, he's doing all the important things. When they played Indiana the other night, he was the one that got the whole role started with a steal off of Jeff Teague. And, you know, he scored 22, like, off the bench the other night when I'm watching him. Like, you know, I like this Kyle O'Quinn guy. You know, it's like
right.
Everybody talks about Anthony Porzingis, but this is the lunch pail guy. And, you know, I'm going to, like, develop a man crush on him, you know, and then I'm going to want him in my fantasy lineup, and he's not going to fit.
So words-wise from a Knicks fan, that you probably shouldn't fall in love with Kyle O'Quinn.
Well, I'm saying I might see these type of players on other teams.
Yeah, but that's the same of all sports, right? Because baseball, you must have a couple guys that you end up falling in love with, like guys you stick the microphone in front of in the clubhouse.
That's a great point.
Yeah, but I think I could separate that. You know, it's almost like I'm getting back into this. I haven't played fantasy basketball since 2013, and I realize all this. I'm just saying, you know, that feeling is in there, in my mind, you know, in my heart. You know what I'm saying? I know not to think with my heart, but... You know, it's like, oh, scrolling down in the salaries. Oh, Kyle O'Quinn's only that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to do it. But I'm just saying, you know, it's a thought in my mind, maybe like any other fantasy player.
It's better to have that feeling in your heart than in your loins.
That's true.
It's true.
That's true. Yeah.
That's a good point. All right, take a break here. Come back. Talk a little Eagles and Giants tonight, Thursday Night Football. We kick it off. Week 16 championship week kicks off tonight with Philly and New York. We'll talk to the Dallas fan about how he feels for rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles tonight. We'll do it next here on the Roto Experts. What do you mean? What do you mean? Speaking of lean,
this is like generic trap music. So
all right.
He drinks some lean to this.
You think Justin Bieber drinks purple drink?
Oh yeah, I'm sure Justin Bieber drinks purple drink.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay. Who was it that got in trouble for it? Cowboy player? Yeah. Wasn't it Rolando McClain?
Oh, was it Rolando? Was it?
Yeah,
Rolando McClain's a lean sipper, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably drinking good stuff
Justin,
too.
Yeah, Justin Bieber ruined the life of Selena Gomez. Every time I go to the supermarket, I read about it.
Ah, poor. You know what? She's not doing okay. She's not.
No, she's back in rehab.
Really?
Yeah, according to the supermarket tabloids.
I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna have to read about this. Oh, wow.
Huh. I like to take her under my wing.
Yeah.
Mentor.
Wow. I also
just read DFS.
That's not the right way to do it.
Wow. I also just read that she has cut out Taylor Swift from her life.
And wow. A lot of issues going on.
And she's right. She's in and out of rehab due to depression and anxiety. But she refused to attend Swift's 27th birthday bash at the advice of her counselors.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea to skip that one.
Wow.
Taylor Swift, man, she's 27. She's getting old.
She is. She is getting old. All right. Hey, tonight, Eagles and G-Men from Philly, Lincoln Financial Field. We'll see what's going on with Janoris Jenkins. He is questionable for the Giants. Ryan Matthews, Jordan Matthews, Darren Sproles, both questionable for Philly. Looks like they're both going to wind up playing, though. Corey, I got to ask, how's it feel for you, Cowboys fan? Obviously, you hate every team in the NFC East. Got to root for the Eagles tonight. How's that feel?
If I had to root for one of the teams in the NFC East, it would be
Eagles,
the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow.
Yeah, this is the first time I heard that one.
That's the one that I would root for. Obviously, pulling for them tonight, need them to knock the Giants off so we can go ahead and lock in and get ready for the playoffs and celebrate the division championship. Not we, but the Dallas Cowboys can get ready to lock in and celebrate the division championship. So I'm pulling for him. I was talking to my brother-in-law, who's a big Philadelphia Eagle fan. He came through the crib last night. We didn't have no purple drink, but we still figured it out.
Oh, he's an Eagles fan, Noah?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. We no drink, but we figured it out. And, you know, we was talking about the game. He said, as an Eagle fan, he felt the Eagles would keep it close and make it interesting. But in the end, that Odell would make a play to put the Giants over the top. But we will see what happens tonight. And, of course, you're kicking off week 16, a championship, the chip in fantasy football. And here we go.
All begins tonight.
Yeah. I wonder, you think Philadelphia has a shot at slowing Odell down?
I don't think with that pass defense too. And like, I know, I think Brian Ambos opened up a daily contest to us, you know, which was nice for the holidays. You don't pay anything, the winner take all for $100.
Yeah.
And it's like, I gotta see, like, how can I get Odell in my lineup, you know, against this Eagles secondary.
It's not a Sunday Monday contest. Yeah. It's not a Sunday Monday contest.
It starts tonight. Yeah.
Oh, it starts tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's cool, right?
I don't see them slowing down Odell. Yeah, I figure Eli's good probably for more than one touchdown pass tonight, too.
I hate to say it, but I agree. But I do have a team where I'm playing for a championship, and I do have Odell on that team. So,
if you're an Odell, you spent your first round pick on him, you haven't seen any injuries, and here you are in week 16 with a great matchup, you feel good about your first round investment.
Well, this is the problem, though. Nobody else on that offense can accomplish anything besides Odell.
Well, you know, you could see Shepard get in the end zone, maybe.
That's about it, really.
Because this pass defense is very vulnerable.
If they want to win the game, all you got to do really is take Odell away, but that's easier said than done.
I mean,
done.
If you're playing in a larger league, larger than 12 teams, you know, you're in a spot where you probably got to roll Shepard out, and I think you feel good about it tonight.
Yeah, I agree. I would.
But what happens in the backfield tonight? You know, Paul Perkins, Rashard Jennings.
Oh, that's nothing.
You know, obviously we've seen Perkins come on more recently. If you play in a larger league, and you know, when we talk to Austin and Ty Dillon
tonight, with only
when we talk to Austin and Ty Dillon at 9:30 Eastern, they play in a 16-team league.
Yeah.
So you know, okay. If you play, you know, a lot of our users play in 10 and 12 team leagues, but you know, Perkins, you know, it becomes a question what happens with the Giants' backfield if you play in a larger league tonight.
Yeah, I think Perkins has looked better as of late. I think back if you trust Rashard Jennings more, but I think it's clear Paul Perkins has looked better. Not even just at the goal line. I'm talking about just in general.
Just from a scouting perspective, I like the way he just like plants his foot and goes. You know, it's just like he looks very decisive for a young guy.
Well, he just simply looks better, right? He looks like he's just more fluid, I would say, at this point.
More
Rashard
spark,
Jennings.
More juke, you know, runs with more authority than Rashard Jennings.
Speaking of Odell Beckham Jr., did you guys see this story about him, this newest story about him?
What did he do this time?
So somebody on the Redskins came out and said they got fined for their cleats. And Odell Beckham said, well, he got fined on Sunday.
For the Craig Sager cleats?
He wore Craig Sager. He's one of those guys who talked about this on the Monday show.
Yeah.
That how people were around the league wore Craig Sager cleats. And I told you Odell Beckham did.
Yeah.
And Odell Beckham wore these rainbow color cleats. Craig Sager Foundation, the whole deal, like all the money, he's going to auction him off immediately after the game, donating all the money to Craig Sager's foundation.
Yeah.
Find $18,000 for him.
Hmm. Interesting, intriguing.
I feel like you don't believe the story.
No, I can see him being fined. You know, obviously if it wasn't true, the NFL would have came out and said that wasn't true.
Right.
He shouldn't have got fined for that. We know that the NFL is becoming this, whatever, this corporate, no fun BS, whatever the case may be. The shoes were rainbow?
No, see, that's where you're going with that. No.
What a shock!
That was very observant, Corey. I didn't figure that out until you just brought it.
They
to
were
my
not.
Attention.
No, they were not rainbow.
Oh, they weren't rainbow.
No, I just said that because it was easier to describe.
Oh, it was
that,
rainbow.
Colors.
Okay.
Here is. Let's see here.
I'm about to say because if he wore rainbow cleats at this time, he's just trolling us. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Love you, Odell.
You do. Right.
Twinkle toes. You'll love him in fantasy tonight, though. He'd be carrying you to the championship.
Hopefully that is the case, Odell Beckham. I took him at number 2 overall in this draft. I passed on Julio, took Odell, got T.Y. Hilton coming back on the wrap. And then in the third round, scooped up LeSean McCoy.
That's how you draft. That's how you do it, man. Yeah. That's how you follow the fantasy executive on Twitter to, you know, learn those kind of things. And, you know, you're in a great position with Odell tonight if you're playing for a fantasy championship. But the guy scores 30 points. You know, I say this to everybody. We do this, like, every Friday.
Well,
it's like, you know, I'm up 30 or I'm down 30. You know, it's one player in one game still.
He hasn't had that stretch like the previous two seasons where he just goes off every game.
Right.
He hasn't had that stretch, but he has been solid
have really
and
been
consistent.
There. Like Greg
he's the only person on the damn team that can score.
Greg was pointing out, like, Greg was looking at reading off his game log the other day and about how slow he started. He's really picked it up with the touchdown. I think the impressive thing is, Corey, you say that there is nobody else there, but they still can't stop him.
Yeah, you're right. They still can't stop him.
You know, that shows how, you know, outstanding you know, player this guy is.
Is he pound for pound the best player in the NFL?
Between him and Antonio, you got Antonio Brown?
I would say I don't know. With
me, Le'Veon Bell.
With me,
David Johnson.
I don't think David.
Was an interesting NFL meme this morning comparing like how everybody talked about how Ezekiel Elliott's worth the first round pick and he's all this in fantasy, and how David Johnson compares like has comparable overall numbers.
Of course,
and nobody talks about him.
Right. He's playing now. He's playing for the 12-2 Dallas Cowboys.
Play for the 12-2 Cowboys.
Right. Odell Beckham has been fined this year, guys, for multiple incidents, cleats, and personal fouls and whatnot. $108,000.
That's crazy.
It's a lot, it's a lot of money.
He's still on a rookie contract.
Still on a rookie contract. It's a first round contract.
Yeah, well, it is, yeah.
And he's got a crap load of endorsements, obviously.
Yeah, a lot of endorsements.
What if fantasy owners got together and, like, you know,
I'm not giving him fund? No, I'm not giving him
like,
no,
you
no,
help
no,
win
no,
the championship.
No.
I'm not giving him shit.
No.
I wouldn't give him $1. No, I'm not giving him nothing.
He's giving you more than $1.
I wouldn't be afraid to leave him alone with my girlfriend either.
That's because he's such a nice guy.
What? Why is it so funny?
He's such a nice guy. Tony feels very comfortable.
Yeah.
Alone.
Like he's a man's man.
Exactly.
Again, we strip the labels off the back of the uniform. Who really cares what he does in his free time as long as he's giving
you
numbers?
What are you insinuating, Scott?
What am I insinuating? What is he doing in his free time? Twinkle toes?
Toes?
I called him
he's a good
toes
dancer.
Rainbow shoes.
Because he's a good dancer.
Like you.
So am I.
Like you, Twinkle
so
Toes.
And I'm married longer than any of you guys.
So who do you think is a better dancer? Odell
so was
Scotty
Elton
Love?
John.
Ooh, that's a tough one right there. Odell or Scotty Love on the dance floor.
Yeah,
we can do it.
Can you hit
the Michael Jackson that Odell hit and do it? Score the touchdown the other day.
I would battle Odell for charity. We could do it here in the studio.
Really, right there.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see you do it right here in the studio.
Yeah,
me and Greg will do the play by play.
Yes,
I want to see the Michael Jackson move that Odell hit. You know, after he scored the touchdown, after he had the one-handed catch and scored the touchdown.
Yep.
You can look it up online.
Yeah.
And then we can record it. And then we can see.
We got cameras in here now.
Yeah, we can see if you can handle. That's the preliminary round.
Right.
In order for you to be in Odell's class.
Yeah.
You have to knock
hit
out
that.
The Michael Jackson. Hit the Michael Jackson move right here.
All right.
Before 10 a.m. Eastern time.
What?
I give you time.
I want to practice this.
Okay.
Oh, you mean like wait next week or something like that?
No. I want
to
practice.
We'll give it to you tomorrow. You can do it tomorrow. It's Friday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Friday. We can do it tomorrow.
Well, we got to have the cameras on and everything. But I guess you guys can take it with your phones.
Yeah. We'll make sure it gets online.
Yeah. Right. We got any jumping jacks for this week?
Yeah, we got some jumping jacks. You actually did it purposely yesterday because people asked for it. They called in and said, what happened to it? So then you said, so then you said people's names to make sure we had jumping jacks for tomorrow. You remember that?
Hmm. I want to do something fantasy-wise with the jumping jack.
What do you mean?
Like, for people to call in, to come up with something creative here, and you and Nando are creative guys here,
right.
So I'll throw it to you. And
yeah.
Tony's just totally whacked, so I'm sure he can come up with something cool. I just want to do something where, like, the listeners call in if they do a certain thing or they accomplish a certain thing, then I'll do a jumping jack for them.
Okay,
you're going to do jumping jacks for listeners?
I'll do jumping jacks for listeners.
All right, here we go.
Because my doctor told me I need to get more exercise. So
really?
Good.
So you do jumping jacks. Okay.
I want more exercise. Look, these are my New Year's resolutions. Get in better shape.
Okay.
Watch more basketball.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Those are two of them.
So you can go to the gym while you watch basketball.
Well, there's a Planet Fitness here in the...
Yeah, you can't afford this.
The Renaissance.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Can I borrow your membership card?
I don't have one.
I'm sure you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I'd be much better shape.
You can get some aerobic activity at home, Scott.
I know, but I'm not going to talk about that on the air.
No.
What is wrong with you?
I was talking about a bike or...
He's just getting a treadmill.
I know what Tony was talking about. I'm sure Tony wasn't talking about a treadmill.
No,
unless that's a new move.
Sussman hit on the head. If you watch a game and you're on a bike or a treadmill, 30 minutes goes by pretty quick.
That's true.
Hey, Kyle said, listen, Scotty, you said DJ has comparable numbers to Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
In half-point PPR, DJ has more points
than
Ezekiel Elliott.
He does. Would you guys draft DJ number one overall next year?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
I would take him before Ezekiel Elliott.
I would
Elliott
also take him before Ezekiel Elliott.
You still Antonio Brown number one?
I am. I am.
Tony?
I would grab one of the three running backs. I haven't committed to one. David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell.
So you
Bell,
might take David Johnson number one.
Yeah, I might.
Yeah,
I think I'll go Antonio Corey? Brown. Corey said he's going to one of the Steelers first. He's been saying that. You're changing your mind.
I still like Julio a lot, too.
You're emotionally, you have trouble breaking up That's with people, so I could see you still going Antonio Brown because of the emotional tie.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Scott. I'm a closure guy. Are you?
No, you can't let go of Sammy Watkins.
But, okay, here's the thing. But me and Sammy Watkins have never talked about it. If me and Watkins was to have a conversation and Watkins was to say, listen, dogs, I'm sorry. I was hurt. I was trying to push it. I should have been honest with the fantasy community up front.
You stop right there. You're still letting them in.
But that gives me closure. When I'm dating somebody and we go our separate ways,
you have closure?
I want closure.
You went back to Jared Cook like six times.
But I want closure. Scott, I like closure.
You got closure
I'm
from
the
Jared
type of guy
Cook.
To break
you can't
up,
trust the guy.
You know what I'm saying? Or go a different way with a young lady and
Jared
be like,
Cook catches one pass for 6 yards. That's not closure for you. Break up.
But still.
And you went back to him still.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. But I want, like, you know, I'm not just like break up and let it hang out there. I want to know, what did I do wrong? Or what could we have
it's
done better?
It's not what you done wrong.
I like closure.
It's what he did wrong.
It's not about you, Corey.
Stop blaming yourself.
Everybody want to explain their sides and get it out in the open so we have closure. Greg, are you a closure guy?
What does this closure do with Antonio Brown?
Greg Scott said that I am
emotional.
That
you
I'm
have
emotional.
Trouble breaking up with players.
I have
players.
Trouble breaking up.
Right.
So that leads me to think I do have trouble breaking up, not just with players, but in general.
In life.
And yeah, because I like closure. A lot of time other people are like, well, what do you need closure for?
Right.
I'm a closure guy. Are you
I
a closure
understand
guy?
That. I understand that. But in fantasy, when Jared Cook says 1 for 6, you need to shut the door. Okay. Sometimes you need to make that closure happen.
We'll continue talking about closure on the other side of the break. It's Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning. Trying to give Corey some closure on life, it seems. I don't know how that topic started.
Fantasy closure.
No, I don't think it's fantasy closure. I think it's more than that. I think it's what you're talking about. You're talking about closure in general.
Yeah, I'm talking about closure in general.
Right.
I like closure. And most of these young ladies...
But Scott doesn't think you do.
Not in fantasy. I don't know about your personal life. I can't comment on that.
I'm telling you, Scott. Yeah. I'm sharing this with you.
Okay.
This has helped the executive segment.
When isn't? What segment's not?
I like closure. You feel what I'm saying? You know, I was in the thing, whatever, for a long time. I've been back on the scene for a little over 2 years now. You know, dating and stuff like that. You know, making sure I stay regular. And, you know, sometimes the young...
What about before those 2 years? Before that, you weren't staying out on the reg?
Well, you know, I was in a long-term thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You were irregular. Right?
Yeah. Towards the end, I was really irregular. I was like, it's building up on me. I was like that kid at the Charger game. But now, you know, back in this flow and swing and things, and sometimes people say, okay, listen, it's not going to work. And I'm like, oh, what happened? Oh, no, it's just that. Oh, no, it's just, you know, I'm be, you know, separate ways, whatever, still be friends. I need closure. You know what I'm saying? Tony, are you a closure guy? Or are you just like, you can go anyway? Like, okay, it's all good. It's all good, baby.
Yeah. Decide to move on to the next thing.
Yeah. Greg, closure?
Yeah, I think you need closure.
Yeah.
I think you need closure. I think it's very hard to actually move forward without closure.
I think for me, it depends on the person and the relationship.
Yeah.
Some people. Well,
Scott, you've been married for 20-something
years.
No,
but I'm talking about friendships.
Oh, okay,
now too,
okay.
You know, and family relationships.
Yeah.
It depends. Sometimes I will need closure if I've had a very meaningful relationship with the person. Sometimes.
What do you do with your family, Scott? This is kind of weird.
Sometimes you just let people. Sometimes things just drift away and it's a natural progression. But, Corey, my point is it's like. Do we let the way we operate in life creep into our fantasy, you know, strategy? And, like, you know, that's what I'm bringing up with you. It's like, you don't need any more closure from Jared Cook when he catches one pass from 7 yards. You need to walk away from the guy and need to take care of yourself.
I feel like I can move on from a player because they're, like, a male. You know what I'm saying?
But we talk about a man crush fantasy-wise all the time.
Yeah. I think to me, actually, as you know, in fantasy, I'm very quick to say goodbye.
Oh, yeah, you are.
You have no problem with closure.
Yeah.
You will slam a door on a guy very quickly.
Yeah. I slammed the door. We don't talk again.
That's it.
You're out. He's on the street.
Unfriended
like
on Facebook.
He's like
you don't follow
landlord.
No more on Twitter. You just get away from it.
When I'm done, I'm done. When I'm done, I'm done.
Florio's down there, right? Yeah, I see him, Florio, this morning. Florio, you a closure guy or you? Florio may not know yet if he's a closure guy or not.
He's been in a long-term relationship
for 10 years, and he's like 15.
And he's also stuck with the Buffalo Bills, which for the Mets and the Knicks. You know,
what do you think, Florio? Yeah.
I mean, personally, I'm not too much of a closure guy. I usually just let things run its course and it drift away or whatever.
So I am the only like real closure.
Well, what about fantasy wise, Mike?
Does closure make me?
I don't really.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess I'm kind of like Corey. I'll go back to a guy if I think he's gonna have a good year or something.
But will you stick with a guy if he continually burns you?
Yeah, that's probably a flaw of mine, but I do that.
Yeah, Greg's just the opposite.
In life, I'm just...
I hold grudges.
Maybe, I'm emotional.
Fantasy grudges.
You're right, Scott.
Real life
grudges
and fantasy grudges.
I am emotional.
You know, I can forgive, but I won't forget.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that. It's like, you're one of the nicest guys that I know.
I know.
You know?
Thank you.
How can somebody get on your bad side? I don't see it.
You lie. You don't lie to me.
My feelings are easily hurt, too.
You don't lie to me.
I have a lot of issues.
Yeah. All right. We
love you, Corey.
We'll be back with some headlines from yesterday, including Bruce Arians, who's pissing me off. I'll explain next.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Back here on the Roto Experts for hour number two. Here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Scott Angle, Corey Parson, Tony Cincotta, Greg Sussman. And we're talking before about closure and breaking up. And Scotty, you wanted to continue the conversation.
No, not so much as like, you know, we were talking about Johnson versus Elliott. And Kyle Voss, who's been listening to us for a while on Twitter, says, you said Johnson has comparable numbers to Elliott. And half PPR, DJ actually leads in fantasy points. The guy needs
Scotty,
more credit.
Scotty.
No, the point I want to bring up, though, is how many people are like actually playing in that half PPR right now? And like, you know, is it? I don't know if I like it. It's like you're on the fence. It's like you talk about closure, right? And I feel like half PPR is like being on the fence and like, you know, waffling in the middle. Play PPR, don't play PPR. The half point PPR to me is just like, I don't know how you guys feel about it.
I'm cool with it.
I'll play it, I guess, if it's...
I don't know where this is coming from, but I'm cool with it because I'm just like, this is the Jake Seeley theory. That is the purest form of it. But
Jake doesn't even like PPR. He hates it.
Every league I play in is half PPR.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Everyone.
What's your feeling about it?
Well, I obviously like it.
I'm saying, why do you like it?
Because it started out years ago. We had the PPR, and we just thought it was too much for the receivers. We just thought it was just like you would get reception after reception, and that wasn't indicative of how well a player played. So, but we thought that it's still important. Like we used to judge if a statistic was important if it was on the bottom line. If it was on the bottom line of ESPN, then clearly it was worth
it. Important statistic.
Right. So they used to give you, and this is before fantasy was as large as it is now, you would say, all right.
How long has your league been going on?
15 years.
Nice.
And give or take.
Because you guys were like teenagers or something?
Yeah. Wow. So it was, I'd say, since like our freshman year of high school, so back like, you know, like 10 years. No, I'm sorry. No, back like since like 02, 03.
The guys have like moved away and you keep in touch with everything?
Yeah, absolutely. We have friends in California, North Carolina. Yeah.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, go ahead.
So we judge it by...
No, serious. I think that's very cool. I'm not joking around.
I do too, but I'm just... You're like really like...
We judge it by...
You're about to genuflect.
We judge it by the bottom line. And it used to say, all right, so-and-so would have 5 catches for 85 yards of touchdown. We're like, how can we not count reception somewhat?
Right.
So we figured out, people do the half-point PPR. We thought that was just the fairest way to encompass PPR and standard.
Well, you've been doing it before it became vogue.
Well, I've been doing half PPR legitimately almost all my life. We've always been half PPR.
You were ahead of the curve.
I guess. I never thought of it like cool. That. We always thought half point PPR was like the norm, right? Until I got into the industry where I was like, oh, everyone does PPR.
Yeah. I feel like half PPR has become more prevalent over the last few years in the industry.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. But yeah, so
like Fantasy Pros, when did they have? I think they just.
I've never
like
played in
the
half point PPR.
They think they added the half point PPR rankings. I've never played in the half point PPR.
Oh, me neither.
It's interesting. So when we
should getting one together.
When
Scott,
I used to do
ass.
Show with Jake Seely, because I played in the half point PPR, and I felt like my community was not given the enough information.
Right.
Okay.
We I was like, Jake, we are a half point PPR show. I go every time I want your rankings, I want it in the half point PPR. I don't want PPR or standard. I want half point.
Yeah, Jake was cool with that?
Yeah, he's like, you know what? You're right. And he's like, I publish the rankings on Roto Experts and on Fantasy Pros. We only do PPR and standard. I feel like we're leaving out the half point guys. So I'm going to do, you're absolutely right. I'm going to start publishing half point PPR.
What would be the difference, though, in a half PPR and a PPR rank?
Half like a
how,
point.
How would it really change your ranks overall? It's either PPR or non-PPR.
So you're doing projections, Scott.
Correct, projections. Yeah, so, projections. So, for me, right? If I'm looking to find out if I should start player A or player B,
right?
And I want to look at somebody's rankings or someone's projections,
yeah.
Do I look at the PPR projections or the standard rank? I don't know. So that's why I needed a half point guy.
I mean, I guess
Jacob
when you're going rankings, I would lean more towards PPR projections. But you know, then like Tony says, you got to base your ranks on your projections.
So, and that's right. So if someone wasn't giving me a half point PPR, then it was tough for me.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't do half point PPR in my ranks on Roto Experts, which are already published for this week, and I've never got an email or anything saying, "Can you please rank half point PPR?"
It's interesting because when I do everything in half point PPR, everything.
Does Fantasy Pros have half point PPR rankings?
They
have a couple different rankings.
So
I just said that they started like 2 years ago.
So they do. They do, Tony, but according to what Jake told me about it when we were discussing it, he said they kind of just, there's like an algorithm for it. Like people don't submit half point PPR. They just kind of do an algorithm from the PPR ranking to their standard ranking.
See, I don't like that, though, because when you do the algorithm,
you get screwed up.
I look at the ranks. That's why I cut the half point PPR out, because when I looked at it from the algorithm, it wouldn't go exactly where I might rank the guys.
This is what Jake said. Jake said it's screwed up because you got to do, because
they do an algorithm for your flex as well. Similar, if you don't do that.
Right. So similar type of thing there. Let's get into some headlines, guys, from yesterday that I wanted to talk about. And we'll start with Matt Forte here, who is not expected to play Saturday, both due to a torn meniscus and a nerve issue in his shoulder. Given all this,
he's beat up.
There should be no reason he plays, right? Like he's an older dude, like
Dr. Ray said he shouldn't have tried to get out there last week.
Right.
He did.
So you probably shouldn't play.
Yeah.
Now, and that means Bilal Powell is going to be, the starting running back for New York.
Yeah.
So I ask you, would you rather start Bilal Powell or Kenneth Farrow?
Oh, I'm going with Bilal Powell.
Kenneth Farrow plays Cleveland. I want to remind you.
I understand that. And I understand the matchup is tougher, but Bilal Powell's share of the ball, his talent is going to be, is overwhelming.
Yeah, I have Bilal Powell 15th this week. You know, Bryce Petty has to use him as a safety valve. They have to use him as a runner to take pressure off the young quarterback, you know, because you don't want him throwing the ball because he'll turn it over. You know, we've seen that. And, you know, we talked about this extensively already. You know, what's going to happen in that backfield? That's the conundrum with San Diego this week. It's a great matchup, but how much of a split is it going to be in carries? You know, as Corey said, you're not going to get that with Powell.
You're probably not. Tone.
Yeah, I'm a big Bilal Powell guy. I think if he gets 5 or 6 catches, right there, that's equal to a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's just start the game out with no yardage. And I don't think there's any way that he doesn't get 5 or 6 catches. Petty either throws the ball deep down the field or he checks off. There's no in between.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. All right. So if that's the case, let me continue. Bilal Powell, Corey, or Spencer Ware?
Oh, interesting. I got both of them in one of my lineups.
That's why
right
I asked
now.
You, yeah.
And if I had to choose between one, I would go with the, well, you can run the ball against Denver, but this guy's been underperforming, and Bilal Powell looks good. Bilal Powell is fresh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's a fresher player.
You always said you like fresh legs.
I like young, fresh legs.
Yeah.
With cocoa butter on them. Now, Spencer Ware is in my lineup this week. I got him back out there. Well, this is a different team I have him on. I got him back out there. I playing them confidently against Denver's run game, but I'm expecting that in the PPR. I'm expecting that 10 to 13 type range for Spencer Ware. I do have an interesting player in my lineup this week.
Did you answer that question or not?
What did I say?
I don't think you answered.
Oh, I would play. I would say Powell.
You said Powell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's not even close for me. I got Spencer Ware 15th. I mean, I'm sorry. Powell 15th. Spencer Ware 26th. I am not effing with Spencer Ware at all in the championship game.
That's tough.
Tony? Oh,
I
am actually going to go Bilal Powell as well. I actually got Bilal Powell a top 10 back this week.
Oh, all right. Nice, Tony. Let me make it a little bit tougher for you then.
Throw it out there.
Bilal Powell or Thomas Rawls?
Bilal Powell. I don't like Rawls this week. I'll be writing this about this on Seahawks.com today.
Okay.
I think, you know, that's going to be a low scoring game. I think it could end up being like 17 to 16 final score.
Okay.
Rawls has just not showed the consistent spark he showed last year. Seattle's hoping to get ProSize back for the playoffs. I don't like Rawls at all this week. I got him 21st because maybe he'll score a touchdown. But not close to Powell.
No. Corey?
I gotta go with this is a tough one.
I told you it'd be tougher.
Yeah. And you didn't lie. I'm still gonna give Powell the slight edge, but I think they score around the same.
And Tony, I know Bilal Powell's a top 10 back for you, so it's probably
Yeah. I'm surprised that Scott thinks it'll be that low scoring. It's a 43 total in that game.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be lower than that. I think, you know, this is, I know the Cardinals are out of it, but I think it's going to be an NFC West war. Their defensive line against Seattle's offensive line, they're not going to be able to run the ball effectively. I think the Seahawks will pull it out, but they're going to really have to work for it.
Oh, that's
going to
be tough. You're going into a war without your general.
That's what you got to do, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's tough sledding right there,
you know,
Scott.
Winning teams, I know you haven't known about this for a while with Cowboys, though. You know, it's been over 20 years.
Five.
You know, we're not talking about the throwback collection now. We're talking currently.
Mets.
You know, like,
I knew that, and he says, what about the Mets?
And then we'll do this thing over and over. I'm sorry.
But anyway, you know, the winning teams, you know, they do what they got to do. It's got to be a next
man
up.
I mean, you're missing your general. You're missing your general going into this war.
And we overcome. You know, that says a lot about the ball club. Yeah, 12th man. There you go.
Oh, yeah, 12th man.
By the way, here's a picture of these
that
guys
was stolen,
here.
Right?
Picture of Odell's cleats.
Oh, I want to see
those are the Craig Sager cleats.
Are they rainbow? Wow. Let me see.
Those are the Craig Sager cleats. Corey's getting up from his seat here. He's coming over. I describe them as rainbow. Corey
that was
said,
the wrong choice of words.
I guess so. Is it the
I don't see no subliminal messages in there.
It's just Craig Sager.
What are you trying to say, Corey?
I'm not trying to say nothing, Scott.
Yeah, you are.
Cut it out.
Yeah, me cut it out.
Ooh.
Yo, we have to be careful because we live in New York. Yeah, you know.
I also like you have people listening to this.
Odell,
you probably can't do that.
Odell can come here this morning. We're probably going. He come here anytime. You know what I'm saying?
Not
so,
this morning. But
I interviewed Odell last year, though.
He was
a heck of a nice guy.
Did you make these rainbow comments to his face?
No.
Right. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Scott, you're just like Skip Bayless.
He started that rumor about Aikman. That's why Aikman hates him.
Oh, yeah.
So you want Odell to hate you?
No.
I didn't ask.
I like Odell, and you know I'm going to refrain from making any comments like that. I thought he was a really...
Good guy.
I couldn't wait to tell you after I
you know.
Well, hold on. You want to be honest about that story?
What?
You couldn't wait to tell me that, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember the story about that?
No, I don't. my recollection is, I remember saying that going out of this, I got to tell Greg what a cool guy he
was. Right.
So I thought that in my head.
So that's all true. That's all true. That all happened.
Yeah.
For real, exactly how you described it. Except the day before, you run up to me and you go, I have something really cool to tell you. I'm interviewing Odell tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, that's awesome.
That's
really cool. Because I was going to give the interview to you, but you know what? I really want it.
I was.
I
still said the same thing today. If I couldn't do it, I would insist that you be
the guy.
See,
you brought me up like this, and then like,
yeah, you let him down, rich like that.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what, though? If I get an opportunity again, they say I can bring another host with me, nobody's going to do it.
See,
but,
he's still not going to eliminate himself. He's like, can I bring Greg along?
It's a me guy.
You've already met
the guy, Scott. You're a me guy.
If I got a second opportunity, yeah, I would give it to Greg.
I'm ready to see what's going to happen with you and Odell in this dance-off.
Yeah.
For charity.
We'll see.
Bilal Powell.
Modell's gift card to the winner.
Bilal Powell,
like he needs that, right?
Gentleman or Lamar Miller?
I'm going Bilal Powell. Miller's banged up. Not as much of a PPR threat.
Okay, Tony.
Miller's banged up every week, though, Scotty.
It's true.
So I'm not concerned about
that. That's true. But he's still not much of a PPR threat. So I'll edit that statement. He's not as much of a PPR threat. I have about Powell at 15. I got Miller at 17.
That's close.
It's close.
Hold on. We have Tom Savage at the helm now, not Brock Osweiler.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm going with Lamar Miller, Tom Savage.
Wow.
Let's go Texans. Wow.
21 Savage.
Corey?
You must watch Savage.
That Bengals team. Perfect is hasn't practiced this week.
Well, shocking, he's concussed.
He played three quarters with a concussion.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's played a couple of years based on his actions.
That
on
was
the field.
Biggest lock of Sunday. The Vontaze Perfect is going to leave that game concussed.
Yeah,
yeah. So I'm going to go with Mr. Miller.
Let me. Who you think?
What about you, Corey?
Who would you
Miller
rather? I would go Powell over Miller. I would give him the slight.
What are you going to ask? What are you going to ask? Who would you rather have concussed? Is that what you're going to ask?
No. I was saying, who would you rather have with you in a dark alley?
Vontaze Burfict or DeMarcus Cousins?
Oh, DeMarcus Cousins.
DeMarcus Cousins.
Cousins.
I think I would go with Burfict.
Yeah, I think he's only good from behind. Like, when people aren't looking, he's the guy.
Oh, he was sneaky, huh?
DeMarcus Cousins is sneaky.
No. You know what DeMarcus Cousins said? He was like, I was going to buy, they ejected me from the game. I was going to go back and tear up the locker room. Like, he said I was going to go back and tear up the locker room.
Matt Barnes or DeMarcus Cousins in a dark alley?
I think you take Boogie.
Yeah.
Matt Barnes is a loose cannon, too,
though. He's a loose cannon.
Yeah,
he dressed up the Taliban and put it on Twitter.
Yeah, he is. He's a
dressed up as the Taliban.
He chased Jeff Fisher. I mean, not Jeff Fisher.
Derek Fisher.
He chased Derek Fisher around his house. He was going to whip Derek Fisher ass.
You should. Well, I'm okay with that one.
That was okay.
I got two for you.
That guy,
Dark Alley, Frank Stample, or Chris Pavona.
Nobody cares about that.
Come on,
nobody cares about that. Let's move on. Next question.
All right, next one.
Dark Alley. Zach Randolph.
Star Wars.
Or Boogie Cousins.
Ooh, that's a close one.
I like Boogie.
See, I would take Zach Randolph.
I want Boogie.
Yeah, I've seen Boogie back down to Zach Randolph.
Have you?
Oh, the only thing I could say where Zach Randolph has the advantage, he did get arrested with a car full of guns.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
That's good.
Yeah.
The only player I've seen Boogie back down to was Zach Randolph. Like, he backed up and looked away, and Zach Randolph kept talking, and Boogie was like, I better say something. But nah, he backed down to Zach Randolph.
How about going into a dark alley with Marvin Harrison?
I'm not answering that question.
Yeah.
You know what?
I plead the fifth.
All right, I got one for you. Bilal Powell or Todd Gurley?
Oh, Todd Gurley.
I still got Powell.
Gurley against San Francisco?
Yeah. I got Powell 15th, and I got Gurley
18th. You're not a believer?
I got Gurley 18th. I like him this week. It's an RB2. Where do you have Gurley ranked this week, Tony?
I have a number 6.
Mm.
188 yards a game.
Yeah. Somebody pointed out to me on Twitter that Gurley only had like 40-something yards against him in the first meeting in week one. But I'm like, San Francisco was actually trying to play back then.
Yeah, I'm going.
Yeah, the only problem with that statistic is Allen Robinson had 109 yards receiving against the Houston Texans in the first game, and then he had about 2 last week.
Yeah.
I am going to go with Todd Gurley.
You meant Aldrick.
What's with this Brian Hartline, Haynes-Terrell Pryor? You guys see this yesterday?
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, what is that
Hartline
about?
Went off. Obviously, they didn't get along in the clubhouse.
It's not very nice.
Yeah.
Well, they got beef?
Brian Hartline misses. He sucks. Yeah.
Really?
Brian Hartline.
Yeah,
Brian Hartline
like,
must be a
this
bitter.
News when Brian Hartline has beef with somebody.
He talked to Mike Cardano.
Brian Hartline must be I know, right? He talked to Cardano. He must be hating. You know, I won a championship with Brian Hartline 1 year.
Me too.
A couple years ago, Brian Hartline had a 70 catch season.
He was good.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Miami.
He didn't get in the end zone a lot though.
He had 70 catches
though. Yeah, I had him too. He was good.
70 catches off the waiver wire is impressive.
We'll come back. I want to talk about Bruce Arians. I also want to talk about Michael Floyd going to jail.
Oh my God! Have you watched the video yet?
I watched the video. That's why I want to talk
about
it.
He was lit.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that on the other side of this. Here are the Roto Experts. So we talked about Michael Floyd over the last couple days, last week really. He got the DUI, and we said yesterday on the show that it was never really as bad until you see the video. So I watched the video after the show yesterday. It's bad. And it gets even worse, as Corey was telling me late yesterday afternoon. Because in Arizona, if you have like a really bad DUI, I don't know if it's called a super DUI or whatever, you go to jail. And it's like, this is like no negotiation. It's just like, you go to jail. And that is if your BAC, your blood alcohol content, is over 0.20. Now, the legal limit in the country is 0.08.
Yeah.
If you're in between 0.08 and 0.20, you got a DUI.
Yeah.
If you're over 0.20, you got that super DUI.
Yeah.
And if you got the super DUI, you are banished to jail for a couple months.
My first question is, though.
Yes, sir.
Everybody knows that you don't take that test. Did he take it?
I guess
they got a read. They got a reading on him. He was
0.21.
He was 0.217, which is like dead.
See, that's a failure. Nobody takes that test.
Right. You can't. You just refuse to take the test.
Yeah.
Your lawyer can argue out of it.
Yeah.
Or at least plead you down or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this is going to be interesting because they're still going to fight this and they're still going to probably get off and he won't go to jail because somehow, you know, these athletes, they do well. They pay these lawyers a lot of money and they're very good at what they do.
Right.
I would be shocked if he ever goes to jail.
Thank God. Well, you know, thank God so he didn't hurt anybody, right? That's the important thing.
So many things could have happened.
Yes.
0.21. Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, his foot could have came off the brake. He could have went into rolled into the street.
Sure.
And really hurt himself and someone else. The way he was interacting with that police officer, if it wasn't a rail-trained police officer, he could have been in some more trouble, tragedy. You know what I'm saying? So he was like, I hate to say this, but he was knock on wood, I don't mean it like that, but he got lucky that it was, you know, that he
other
did.
People are fortunate.
Exactly. Also, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because he was in bad shape. He was banged up.
You know what's also crazy? Like, to me, thinking about this, like, how did he think he was okay to drive at 0.21?
Go
ahead.
The problem is, when you're drunk, you don't make good decisions. Like, you never, ever think that you're going to get caught. You never think that you're that bad, and it's just a bad thing. That's like, you need to have a plan before you go out at night on how you're going to get. I mean, this isn't the first night he's gone out and got crazed like this.
Sure.
I wonder,
being in New England, you know, might be a good spot for him to get his career.
He's
going to
be in New England
around.
For another I don't care about his career at the moment.
He needs to be Alcoholics Anonymous.
We look at these guys and, fantasy-wise, you know, they have all the talent, like a Justin Blackman, a Josh Gordon, and, you know, people were stashing Gordon in their drafts waiting for him to come back.
Yeah. Right.
Even in some dynasty leagues, people were stashing Blackman. So if he can, again, strip the name off the back of the uniform, and, you know, what kind of numbers do we get from, you know, him going forward? How interesting is he going to be in fantasy next year playing with Tom Brady if he can turn his career around, his life
around? Well, he won't be back there next year.
I don't think so.
No.
So let me
why did they take a crack on him this year then?
He's on the way of the wire.
Don't they want to give him a loan, a consideration at least for next year if they're going to sign him?
I think they play 1 week at a time, just like the rest of us.
Day to day.
Yeah, I think there's got to be some thought in the mind that this young man can get things straightened out and he shows us something, maybe we could keep him for next year. Why wouldn't
still
Michael
be 30
Floyd?
There's 30 teams bidding on him. It has nothing to, you know what I mean? Everybody's going to know how he's done.
Yeah, they're going to give him, and he'll get a shot, obviously. But here's the thing. For the last, you know, this is something that I had a conversation with someone about last night also. If that was you, don't get me wrong, I've had my bad nights too. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
And I think we've all had our bad nights when it comes to alcohol. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I actually
not Scotty Love.
Oh, no, yes, not Scotty Love. You're right.
Drink.
If you were in the same situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, I have the whole incident on tape.
Yeah.
Would you watch it?
No.
It's a great question.
I would say yes.
Well, you don't drink, Scott.
No, I'm taking it from a viewpoint. If I did something that was really wrong, would I want to see the tape? And I would say yes.
Now, mind you, you have no memory of this.
Right.
If I have no memory of it, I definitely want to see it.
He blacked out,
obviously. Michael
Floyd
blacked out. I
definitely
want to see it.
Let's just say we go
out one night and you guys get me rip roaring drunk and I've never been drunk before and I black out and I do something that I've never done before. I want to know what the heck I did.
See, I think I think you say that now as somebody that doesn't drink.
That
if someone told me, if someone told me you want to see the tape, that's all I need to know and how bad it was.
You're right, Joey. I think I'd still say yes
because you want to face it.
I want to face it.
Yeah. You want to face it.
Everybody be different about that.
I think I want to see it.
I let me tell you something. I'd be fantasy executive, 100% honest with you.
Yeah.
I had like a conversation with a woman the other night.
Right.
I was pretty banged up.
Right.
I don't remember a word I said.
That's scary.
You know what I'm saying? Like the next morning I called her and I was like, hey, what's
up? Is that
up?
Why your wife showed up here this morning?
I don't have a wife, Scott.
Yeah, did you marry her? Will you marry me?
I don't remember the conversation.
Isn't that scary?
I was off the next day, so it wasn't like I didn't come in banged up.
Right, of course.
Whatever. Not. But I was like, wow, that is scary. So would I wouldn't even know if somebody was to say, I got the conversation recorded. You want me to play it back for you? I probably would be like, no. If I'm Floyd, I don't know if I watched that tape. Everybody in the locker room has seen it. Everybody in the country has seen it. Yep. Everybody in your family has seen it.
Yep.
I would hope that there's a few his ex-teammates have reached out and tried to.
Well, Larry Fitzgerald has said he has.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Larry Fitzgerald has said he has. Yeah.
Yeah. Greg, you think you would be a face it guy?
So I think so. It's like I think back. It's cringeworthy. So the best example I have is right when you get messed up.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm sure you know about this, Corey, right? You send these texts.
Oh,
you send the text.
Oh,
and you know about
God.
It too, Tony, right? You send the text. Yeah, and you wake up the next morning, and you're just like, and you know it the second you wake up, you're like, shit, what did I do? Right? you know as soon as you do, and then you read back, and you just like, oh my God. Like, and that's why I know there's girls that I'm friends with that delete the text before they go to bed, so I don't have to face it. I read it, I go, oh my God, this is awful, and then you deal with it. So I know myself. I want to read back what I did.
Like I literally some nights when I'm like really starting to get it, I be like, I wish I had somebody that I can give my telephone to to make sure I don't do nothing stupid with
my
telephone.
You're 100% right. I sent in the last month or two a text and a girl asked me about it and I said I just messed up. I was drunk.
You don't have an answer.
I read back what does this mean, right? Is what I wake up to, and then I read back what I wrote, and I'm like, shit. I was horrified.
Exactly.
Of course.
Like, you need a phone caddy. You know what I'm saying?
That's like,
I need Mike Florio to be my phone caddy.
So that's like this discussion, like, in a much lighter sense, if you will. Like, we're drunk, we're in our beds, let's say, we're in our homes texting away.
Yeah.
That's like waking up the next morning cringing. Imagine you had a BAC at 21.
Yeah.
Doing that. You know what I mean?
There's only one thing worse than a drunk text. Don't ever leave a drunk voicemail.
Now it's because it's vocal proof. Like, I know.
We've had people call up here in our last platform. You know, they've called in and you wonder if they're a little inebriated when they're asking line.
Yeah, but they probably don't regret it. It's funny.
I remember one night I was real banged up. This is when I still had a thing going on. And I woke up the next morning, you know what I'm saying? And my old lady like wasn't laying next to me and I was like, my goodness, what did I do or what did I say last night?
Right.
You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
So you gotta be careful with those drunken nights like that. And I'll be honest with you, I should be mature enough for these things not to happen to me anymore.
Right.
I'm being very wide open with myself today.
We need help. Michael Floyd did the
I'm
same
not
thing,
perfect.
Right? You want Michael Floyd to say the same thing? I want help.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to hire Florio to be my phone caddy.
Well, we can't get Joel Osteen to help us. He's building fireplaces.
At some point, we get back to Joel Osteen. I knew it.
Let me ask one thing here. One other thing here. Oh, Michael Floyd. And I'm trying to understand. Why was he alone? Right.
Well, why not?
I don't know.
Sometimes when you're partying, you know, you don't always want to party.
They left. I mean, he probably was with his teammates. They was blowing
up. I'll be honest with you guys. I don't drink, but my vice used to be the gentlemen's clubs.
Yeah.
And I unless it was like one of my closest friends, I didn't want to go with anybody else. I wanted to do it solo.
I don't want
to be focusing on anything else. That's why when we used to go to the FSTAs and we used to go to gentlemen's clubs.
Don't name no names.
You know, the guys would walk in and they'd want to be talking about sleepers. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
What do you think of Scott Cashmere?
Yeah, like, what do you think? Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, you know, I'm not here to talk about this. It's like you know, standing by the bar talking about OPS. It's like, yeah, this is not the venue.
This is not the time for it.
No.
You're absolutely right, Scott. And we as an industry, fantasy industry, we got to do better at separating when you talk about the PPR and when you don't talk about the PPR.
Yeah.
So
You gotta go from PPA to BABIP. You gotta get the batted balls in play, right?
Balls you go in right, play. There you go.
Go right there. So yeah.
My point is though, you don't want to do those things. You know, sometimes when you're doing your thing that maybe you shouldn't be doing, you don't want anybody else there to judge you.
Yeah.
When I go out, I'm pretty careful of what goes on around me, and if I think it's getting a little out of control, I'm not above just leaving on my own and not telling anyone.
Oh, yeah. Like,
oh, so you're in the Irish goodbye.
I'm out. I see, like, someone's going to, you know, we were in Toronto one time, and me, Nano, and a couple of the people, and I sensed that, you know, there were a couple of lightweights and rookies with us. That was it. I left, called Nando a couple hours later. So what's going on? He goes, oh, you're still not there? He did the same thing.
Oh, wow. He did the Irish goodbye also. But yeah. See, that with Floyd.
So I'm not a fan of the Irish goodbye.
Yeah. Well,
no?
I'm not either.
No.
I like closure. So there you go.
Sometimes you got to protect yourself. You got to protect yourself.
I disagree, Tony, but I always feel like, because I have a buddy, right, that we're all at a bar together, and all of a sudden you look around like, where'd he go?
Yeah.
Where did this guy go? We're in Vegas one time. We look around and like, he's gone.
He's
like,
skating on
you. I don't know if we're in Vegas. I'm a little nervous.
Now, the spot where Floyd was at that night, I've been there before.
Okay.
I've been there I've been there with Cliff Floyd. So they were at the W in Scottsdale. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They got a little bar lounge area. So they probably was a couple of them after the game. They went to go blow off some steam.
Now, is it like a big spot, or like it's just a chill spot?
It's a chill spot. Okay. It's normally it's a lot of major leaguers hang out there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you get the Arizona Cardinals. They hang out there also.
Right.
And then you get like the women that, you know, that come out there that's looking for athletes and stuff like that.
Okay.
So they probably out there. They probably had, chilling.
Yeah.
Michael Floyd probably closed the joint down.
Right.
Then the valet came and brought him his car, and he was like, he was going to go to his spot.
Right. Right.
So, I'm, you know.
Maybe if somebody was with him, he might not have gotten in trouble.
You wonder how
he was going home. Who are you going to take home with you? You feel what I'm saying?
You're a professional athlete. You often take somebody home.
That's a good thing. Right?
Yeah, but still.
Right. You don't let them drive.
Yeah, that's what I'm
Certainly
saying.
Certainly not.
The night that I was with, the night that I was
point,
out there,
you know,
somebody
everything
else
that's
drove.
Available to you to like assist you in a situation like that.
The night I was out there, somebody else drove that night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
Somebody else drove. We left the same joint. Somebody else brought us back.
You know what? You're probably right. They all drank, and I have no idea who he was with or how drunk they were.
Yeah.
But and maybe they, you know, you don't realize. I don't know. I mean, maybe, I don't know what kind of game Michael Floyd had that day. Maybe he had a terrible game. Yeah. And he just kept drinking.
But still, at some point, somebody should have been like, yo, you can't drive.
Right.
Yeah, somebody should.
Right.
Go ahead, Tone.
I've gone to places, and unfortunately, I've had that said to me 3 or 4 times. And
sure.
People drive you home, or people call you a cab.
Or they get you a cab or something. But here's the thing. On the flip side, they've probably seen Floyd that banged up and make it home so many times they thought he was
out. I was going to say the same thing. When you go to the same place all the time.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
When you go to the same place all the time, people are not going to take that approach with you.
Yep, they're going
to
be like,
oh, it should be the opposite, actually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. And then the other thing that you can wonder, possibly, is that did Michael Floyd, maybe he was with a lady at the W hotel. That's what you said it was, right? A W?
It was a W, but it's in the lobby.
All right, so maybe he went upstairs with the lady. We came back down. Everybody was gone. They left.
But if you're that hit at that point, and you get a room,
there.
Just go ahead and sleep there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just
stay there. Maybe he wants to go home.
Is he married?
You know,
I don't know.
Oh, that's I never even thought of that equation. Yeah. What if he was Bill Cosby, and it's not his fault?
He probably would have said that already.
I'm checking off the boxes with Tony now. Joel Osteen, Bill Cosby. I'm going to hit the ramen noodles box.
Bill Cosby, right?
Oh, man.
Right? Someone could have slipped something in his drink, and he was okay.
I just Googled Michael Floyd wife, and he does have a girlfriend.
Mm.
Well, let's look.
It's
at
interesting because like fantasy players were like waiting for this guy to come around with another big season for a long time, and now you find this all out, and like, you know, off field issues definitely like contributed to the inconsistent on field performance.
Yeah,
So I don't know how you can get that drunk and play football every day.
So I found it interesting.
Daryl Strawberry used to play baseball drunk.
I know. I don't know how these guys do it. I don't know how they do it.
Because you're just standing there.
Because
bored.
Even though you have this issue, you know, and Strawberry was hitting home runs drunk, it's like, you know, you're a finely tuned athlete. It's almost like it's reflex.
You know, it's interesting.
Nice-looking girl.
Bruce Arians decided to cut Michael Floyd. They had some interesting comments on Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey. It makes no sense. I'll explain after the break here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Scott Angle, Corey Parson, Tony Cincotta, Greg Sussman, hanging out with you. And we were talking about Arizona and Bruce Arians. Of course, Arizona plays Seattle this week in a game that Scott predicts to be a low-scoring game, despite the high spread total. The high over-under total, rather.
Yeah, Tony says Vegas always knows, but I know the way these two teams are playing, and I think it's going to be defensive. I really do.
I think that you could be right. We'll obviously see. J.J. Nelson, do you expect him to have another big game? We talked about Michael Floyd a second ago. J.J. Nelson comes up, scores the touchdown last week. You think it happens again?
I think there's a possibility. The way to play against Seattle right now is to avoid the Sherman side. We saw Green Bay do that, and that's why they had tremendous success throwing the ball. And because they were attacking DeShone Shedd on the other side the whole time. And without Earl Thomas bringing over the safety help, like Stephen Terrell just doesn't have that range, that's how you attack Seattle. So if they're moving Nelson over to that other side, even though it could be like a 20-16 game, he could still have pretty good numbers.
Do you feel comfortable, Tony, starting a guy like J.J. Nelson this week in your championship?
Oh, absolutely. I really like him in this matchup. Seattle's defense, the secondary, of course, with the loss of the general, is not the same defense. And,
like the insurance commercial.
Yeah. No, I could definitely use him.
Interesting, you mentioned the general and Seattle, because we got a question here on Twitter about Russell Wilson, for instance. And we had this question yesterday about a different quarterback. Would you start Russell Wilson this week, Scott? Or would you start Jameis Winston?
I have Winston ranked higher.
Okay.
You know, I like the matchup better for him. I have him 11th. I have Wilson 14th. So I'm definitely going with Winston there.
All right, there you go.
Tougher defensive matchup for Wilson, I think.
Yeah. I think it's fair. Corey, you agree?
Yeah, I'm looking at some things right now. The factors, score, you know, point totals and stuff like that. Yeah, I give the nod to my guy. I think they're coming around the same, to be honest with you, but I give the nod to my guy for the more upside of the play, especially against the New Orleans Saints. Need my guy Mike Floyd, Mike Evans to get rolling.
You were saying before, Corey, you have a weird person you're starting this week.
Yeah, I have a person I'm starting this week. This is a super. This is not a super flex. This is a FFWC. You employ two flexes, right?
Okay.
So I'm done with. I've said last week that I washed my hands with Devontae Booker, right?
Yes.
I was serious about that.
Okay.
I've washed my hands with Devontae Booker. He's on my bench.
Mm-hmm.
So I put another rookie running back in my lineup. So my choice is Brandon LaFell for this last flex of the dual flexes. Right now, the starting lineup is Blake Bortles, Spencer Ware, LeSean McCoy, Sterling Shepard, Doug Baldwin, Mike Evans, Gates in that tight end. The flexes are Bilal Powell, right? And my other flex is where I have the option. Now, this team is in the consolation round, and it could win the consolation round. This team didn't make the playoffs. I'm thinking about playing Derrick Henry over Brandon LaFell.
What do you guys think?
I think it could be close. I think if you look at it, I think he can get 30 to 50 yards somewhere in that range, and the whole thing's going to be, does he get to double digits with a touchdown? And, yeah, there's a hell of a chance. But you're taking a risk, because what is the upside with Henry?
Yeah, the thing with Henry is like he got two touchdowns, but, you know, watching the Titans throughout the year, there's times where they kind of mix and match near the goal line, and they will give Murray that sometimes that goal line carry. And you kind of got to depend on that. Jacksonville's got a pretty good defense.
His best game of the season was against Jacksonville.
Right.
I think
that was the DeMarco Murray toe game, and Murray did come back to that game right there. This is a different situation, obviously, this week. You know what I'm saying? Murray might be chasing some kind of record or contract incentive or something like that.
Narrative guy. This is Henry lives about 30 minutes from the Jaguar Stadium.
Oh, really?
It's going to make you happy here.
It's homecoming, yeah.
Yeah. Want to play well in front of all the people he gives the tickets to.
So that could happen. But the reason why I made this decision, I know that Derrick Henry is going to touch the football 9 times. I don't think Brandon LaFell touches the football 9 times.
Well, the thing is, though, with the running back, he'll touch it 9 times for maybe 35 yards. If Brandon, with a wide receiver, if he catches the ball 9 times, you're expecting a pretty darn good game.
I think he'll catch it six, though. You think he can get six?
I don't think he's catching six, A.J. Green.
Not with A.J. Green back.
And Houston's secondary is not bad. Yeah, exactly.
It's the strength of their team.
Number one receivers have done really good against.
He's not the number one receiver.
No, hold on. I'm not finished here, though. Number one receivers have done really good against, and I'm talking this through, against Houston over the last 5 to 6 weeks. You know, if Green's drawing a lot of defensive attention, that might open things up for LaFell. Something else to think about. But
wait, you just said number one wide receivers did really well. Not number two.
I said, and that means that Green's going to draw a lot of defensive attention because they know that. They see that on film. We're going to have to stop this guy, you know, because we've been letting up a lot, you know, to these number one guys. But, you know, I think talking it through, I think I got to lean Henry. I'm with you guys.
I think I lean Henry. Yeah. I really do. I think Derrick Henry, they have found something with Derrick Henry, right? And they want, and then when they get to the goal line, he scores.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Just something I'm throwing out there. And then it also gives my roster a different advantage. Because this right here shows you how many percentage of starting lineups that the player's in. He's in like 2% starting lineups, which might just be mine. So if he does have this, you know, if he have like a 10 for 60 with 2 touchdowns, I get those points by myself.
Correct. It's pretty good. That's pretty good.
So I don't know. I just found it interesting that I have.
That's an interesting call.
And I'm playing Blake Bortles over Colin. I'm playing Blake Bortles over Colin Kaepernick this week.
That's hilarious.
This is a consolation round.
What was it? Blake Bortles scored a touchdown, rushing touchdown last week, and he still had like under 10 points.
Where you have Blake? How do you have those players ranked this week, Scott?
Back to back, 23rd and 24th.
Okay,
I got Kaepernick 23rd, Bortles 24th. I think I'd rather take my shot on Kaepernick.
Right.
More rushing yardage. Not that Bortles hasn't been rushing for it. Then again, Bortles has the better weaponry. You know, if Allen Robinson decides to wake up, you know, that's why they're back-to-back right there for me.
All right. I think it's tough.
Matt Moore, a free agent? I might go with Matt Moore over both of them.
I can't make no pickups now.
Yeah. Not allowed?
Mm-mm. After week 13, no one's allowed to make pickups. What you got is what you got.
What you got is what you got. Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. We'll come back. When we return, I do want to mention this Bruce Arians thing that we were talking about just a second ago with Michael Floyd. He cuts him. That has these opinions on Leonard Fournette. I got to mention that too. It's bugging me. We'll do it next here on the Roto Experts. Back here on the Roto Experts, Corey Parson, Tony Cincotta, and Scott Engel, alongside me, Greg Sussman. And I mentioned Bruce Arians before, guys. We talked about him and cutting Michael Floyd. You, Tony, have said all year Bruce Arians pretty overrated, right?
Yeah, you know, this is a guy that to me is a prototypical.
Joe Madden, right?
He's a coordinator, right? He did a great job. He was a longtime coordinator. Then it's like, shut your mouth when he's a head coach. He just comes out with this craziness. And then you realize why he never got a shot for the longest time.
It's interesting. I find what his comments here over the last few weeks are really interesting. I believe he called out, random things like... didn't he call it rain? Like, it only rained when his team was on offense? Like, stupid things like that.
I think he's kind of losing it
this
season.
He's kind of losing it. Yeah. So then he said this thing about... Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey sitting out.
None of his business.
Which we've talked about. None of his business. But that's fine. He can do whatever he wants. But
yeah.
Nevertheless, let's not forget who he just drafted in the first round. Robert Ndiche was his first round pick last year. He was a guy that leading up to the draft smoked some weed and then fell out a fourth floor window. And this is this guy's first round draft pick.
Yeah,
last year his first round draft pick, who was like a top 12 guy,
yeah,
he benched him all year. Like, didn't play him all year. He was starting offensive guard. He didn't play him. So why are you commenting when guys trying to earn money? And you, yeah, and you're benching guys, and you're picking guys in the first round that fall out of fourth floor windows because you're smoking too much. It's too high.
Some of these dudes, they need to need to think before they talk. They need to examine their own backgrounds, their own situations. Everybody talks about Bruce Arians as this big, great coach. I wouldn't want to play for Bruce Arians. I kind of think he's an asshole.
It seems to me like a lot of the players like him, though.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
How do you know, though? It just seems that way.
You're right. It seems that way. I agree.
Wasn't the Cardinals on Hard Knocks last year or something? I remember watching, you know.
They had that that Netflix show, right? Or Amazon or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I got the feeling just seeing and, you know, some of that insider stuff that the players seem to like Arians.
I agree.
Is that a good thing?
I think it's an interesting question. I think, like, you go back to, like, Tom Coughlin, right? And for years, players hated him.
Right.
But he had to soften up to get them to play for him.
Right. Well, I really think about it. Every situation is unique with the coach and the players because they're all humans. It's like the players love Pete Carroll, you know, and, like, he's a player's coach. Sometimes when you're a player's coach, though, it's not a good thing, like Rex Ryan.
Yeah, Rex Ryan. And they're saying that Rex Ryan very well could be fired after the season and replaced with Tom Coughlin.
Right. Actually, that was reported yesterday. What John Clayton says,
yeah,
and Tyrod Taylor are out.
Absolutely. You said this, Tony. Who would Buffalo replace Tyrod Taylor with?
What the hell are they doing?
Didn't
they draft a quarterback in the second round?
Well, they drafted Cardale Jones at some point.
I remember you talking about Cardale Jones in the preseason, Tony.
He's more of a if you're going for the prototypical NFL quarterback, the drop back passer, I mean, that's the guy that's going to end up being it.
I think a guy like Tom Coughlin, and not just Tom Coughlin, most NFL coaches, Scotty, you can disagree with me if I'm wrong. I think most NFL coaches don't have the wherewithal or the ability to coach somebody out of their comfort zone. Like, I give Pete Carroll a lot of credit, right? Like, Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson was his best guy, and he didn't care how he played. You do you, Russell Wilson, and it led him to a Super Bowl. It led him to this dynasty-type year.
Yeah, you let Marshawn Lynch be who he is.
But not even that. But, like, Marshawn Lynch is an amazing running back. Yeah. Russell Wilson was not a prototypical quarterback. No, he's trying to become one. But, like, Pete Carroll didn't care.
Right.
But these guys, like, very rarely will they let these guys be themselves. It'd take a good coach to do that. Rex Ryan has come in, and he's let Tyrod Taylor do it himself because he doesn't coach offense. He only coaches defense. A guy like Tom Coughlin or whoever the Bills hire if they fire Rex Ryan, they're not going to be able to deal with Tyrod Taylor, and that's why they're going to get rid of him.
Yeah,
I 100% agree.
Which is silly because Tyrod Taylor's probably more talented than anybody they got.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't care.
No, I do care, but I'm just kind of like, dudes, get it together. Like, you can do so much worse than Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, I feel like that front office is not sold on Taylor.
I agree. Yeah. I totally agree with you. And they drafted Cardale Jones in the fourth round, Mike Florio tells us. So there you go.
They going to put Cardale in there? That's crazy.
I don't know. I don't know. Tyrod Taylor, as a long-term...
Same round as Dak Prescott.
That's right. Same round as Dak Prescott. Is Tyrod Taylor, year after year, correct? Because you were on Tyrod Taylor last year, before the season started.
Yep.
Is he someone, I know we've seen inconsistency this year. We talked a lot about him versus Marcus Mariota at times from a fantasy perspective. Is Tyrod Taylor somebody that ever, honestly, week in and week out, you'll be able to start in your fantasy lineups?
I think that he had a very good stretch this year.
He did, absolutely.
I think he's a streamer. I think he finishes every season in that 13 to 16 range.
Okay, yeah, I like it with like a best ball type of quarterback.
Right,
the consistency isn't there. They need, and you made a good, you made an excellent point about how Rex Ryan and doesn't care about offense.
Yeah,
they need somebody to come in there like some sort of quarterback whisperer type to work with him because the talent is definitely there. You know, fundamental on throw to throw, mid range passing, intermediate passing. He needs help.
But you know what's interesting, Tony?
Then again, he doesn't have a lot of playmakers either.
So you're gonna say that, right? I knew you were gonna say that. Yeah. I was going to say that too. And I thought about this.
That's all fair.
So I thought about this because Tyrod Taylor, I think he's talented, and we say there's not enough playmakers there. LeSean McCoy's having an unbelievable season. He's obviously a playmaker, right? Out wide, he's missed Sammy Watkins all year. He's missed Robert Woods for a good chunk of the year, and we don't even know how good Robert Woods is. And I think their offensive line is okay, if I'm not mistaken. And they've gotten LeSean McCoy to 1,500 yards here. So I'm wondering, Tony, is it just that he has no wide receivers to throw to, or maybe I'm just wrong and he's just not that good? I don't.
He's running the ground and pound offense. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, he takes one. Well, he's one of those guys that'll take one look at a wide receiver, right? And then instead of going for a look down, checking down to the second receiver, he's going to take off and run.
Right. So I don't know if he needs like a quarterback whisperer so much as Tyrod Taylor just needs somebody that's going to like just help him along the way.
Somebody's going to open up the playbook for him.
That's it.
Open up the playbook for him.
But it's actually interesting. You put the former Bills coach in there, like Chan Gailey, who's running spread offense.
Oh
before.
My goodness!
I think Chan Gailey would be excellent. Spot for
he
him.
Would be excellent with
Tyrod
Taylor.
That's not some crazy coach I'm talking about.
Exactly. He would be excellent with Tyrod Taylor because he would open up the playbook.
Yeah.
He would give him more or less. He would do what Dirk has done with Jameis. Go ahead and go for it.
Yeah, I think so too. Florio, you're a Bills fan, right? You're obviously a Buffalo Bills fan.
And a Mets fan.
Well, that's not irrelevant.
And a Knicks fan.
Also irrelevant in this conversation.
And a Knicks fan.
Still irrelevant.
Like Corey.
Tyrod Taylor, is he actually, like, when you watch this, do you think, I have a good quarterback on my team? Or you're just like, I wouldn't mind getting rid of him?
I think he's the best quarterback they've had in a long time.
Okay.
I think that, could he be better? Could you do better than Tyrod Taylor? Yeah, but I don't see how they're going to get better than him next year. I think it's also his contract jumps up big time after this year. So I think that's what they're looking at more. I think they want him, but I don't think they think he's worth the money they allocated.
So they gave it to him. So, it's interesting. It's Tyrod Taylor, Corey. He goes on the open market. Is he going to get paid?
Yeah, he's going to get paid. It's a lack of quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
It's like we go to like the Jets maybe or Cleveland.
Yeah, somebody like that to take a shot on them.
Go to the Jets and play Chan Gailey.
And they'll play.
There you go.
There you go.
Go be a Jet and play Chan Gailey.
As a New York Jet, play against Buffalo and tear their ass up.
We come back. We talk more around the NFL. The Dillons join us at the bottom of the hour. Austin and Ty discover and preview their fantasy championship. It's the Riddle Experts in the Morning. Moving on to hour number 3 right after this. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.